The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio. Keep your mission on your mind, and your mind on your mission. This is Mission Minded with Michael Coleman.
Welcome back to another exciting edition of Mission Minded. Keep your mind, your mission, your mind as part of Bite by Bite, a show, of course, both those run on Tony Curry Radio and wherever you get your favorite podcasts. We're available in every major industry in our YouTube channel. And of course, I do the show every single week with Michael Coleman. He is the CEO of the Heart of Alabama Food Bank. And Michael, we have a very special guest today.
Yeah, I'm real excited. It's taken us about 4 or 5 months of planning to be able to get this special lady. But before I introduce her, I want to kind of tell something that shows her impact. When I came to food banking and had to understand the relationship, so Feeding America's national office, you know, kind of sets the tone and kind of deals with everything on a national level. And they partner with 200 food banks, and all the counties are assigned to these food banks. And so it's really a unique relationship. And when I first got here, our food bank wasn't quite as engaged with the national organization and really didn't understand all that went on with that. And so when I came in, I remember my very first conference, and I was blown away as I began to learn about all the resources that Feeding America provides for us here on the ground. Feeding America, I mean, I've heard Claire say many, many times that, you know, they don't distribute food, but they empower us. They build this huge network and this vast network of support that enables us to do our job. And bottom line is, without them and what they do on a national level, we could not be close to the impact we're making. But I talked with somebody, even though we weren't that well connected at the time, she told me that she said, I said, I'm just so blown away at all the resources Feeding America. I've never seen anything like it. And she said, well, it wasn't like that in the past. And so I had never met Claire, but she said, that's their new CEO that's been there at the time about 4 years. And she said, they said, her name is Claire Babineau Fontenot. And I was like, well, you know what? If I run into her, I'm going to tell her. So the very first conference I went to in Philadelphia last year, she spoke to the group, and I went up to her and I said, look, I'm brand spanking new, but I just want to tell you that everybody in the food banking industry who deals with this every single day just has told me that you have totally transformed this organization. And so I bring her in. I'm so privileged to be able to talk with her and introduce her. So at this time, I would like to introduce Ms. Claire Babineau Fontenot, the CEO of Feeding America. Welcome, Claire.
Wow. Thank you so much. And I must say, Mike, that in a former life, I was the chief tax officer at a major retailer. And people had rather low expectations when they were going to hear me speak and I go grab coffee, what have you, think they're going to fall asleep because I'm going to get out there and talk about the Internal Revenue Code is what they were afraid of. So I'm not accustomed to this positive billing that I just got from you just a moment ago in terms of that intro. I'm going to have to live up to your high expectations.
Michael Coleman, the CEO of the Heart of Alabama Food Bank. I'm Tony Curry. We are joined by the Chief Executive Officer of Feeding America, the nation's largest domestic hunger relief organization. She is Claire Babineau Fontenot. Of course, she's also been chosen as Time's 100 most influential people in the world. And we are very, very happy to have her on the show. It seems like your position was almost created for you based on the story you told us, how many children you had living in your home at one point, 107 brothers and sisters and 16 at one at a time. You talked the fact that you were a tax lawyer. And then, of course, you worked 11 or 12 years for Walmart. Can you just talk about how your previous experiences did actually bring the experience you needed to be the best you could possibly be for Feeding America?
Oh, wow. So you're a smart person because you're 100% right about everything that you just said. And oh, by the way, maybe I'm just not as smart as you are because it took me a while to figure that out. When I first joined Feeding America was in October 1st, 2018. And I went around apologizing for everything I did before I got there because it took me so long. So I meet other people who have been in the nonprofit world like Mike for a long time. And I go, oh, I so want to honor what you've done. And I'm sorry it took me so long. I'm sorry. I went around apologizing. And then COVID hits. And I'm thinking, who knows somebody like in retail who might be able to help us to break through some of these supply chain issues? Mm-hmm. Oh, wait a minute. I happen to know some people at a small little retailer out of Northwest Arkansas. I happen to have been an executive there. Oh, my goodness. And then each of the layers of the onion kept peeling away, revealing to me that everything I'd done before I got here could be useful to me while I am. I'm an imperfect person, and therefore I'm an imperfect CEO. I've made mistakes in this job. Unfortunately, I'll make some more. But it will not be that I will fail to understand how awesome the opportunity is to serve in this role. And that there are people I've met along the way. There are things I've learned. There's more for me to learn, to be sure. But there are things I've already learned that I can apply to this work and that they can be meaningful. So if I were saying, so what path you need to be on in order to be the CEO of Feeding America, I probably still today wouldn't say, well, first you need to go off and become a tax lawyer. However, I'm grateful for every step along the way. And I do try to leverage every bit of my learnings in this work.
Speak of leverage and influence, I wanted to address the Farm Bill. Because I know that Feeding America has somebody there advocating for us, and I know the whole organization, I know you do. I've tried to talk about just some of the issues surrounding how significant that is. And it only comes around every 5 years. And unfortunately, this year it's landed right in the middle of an election cycle. And when people, you know, it's so funny because we have people who have come in, and I've heard our local congressman speak about the Farm Bill, and they speak to it from what they're comfortable with, which is the farmer. We've got to take care of farmers. We have to do this. And you have other people who come in who maybe are more focused on SNAP and more focused on the USDA and those benefits that come in. Of course, we see what that means. And it's just sometimes we get so tired of looking at the political going back and forth. Because like you said, there's good people and bad people in both parties. This is one of those things that you would hope that we could all come together and see, find some agreement on. But could you speak to what you're seeing in the Farm Bill, the likelihood? We know at some point it'll get passed, but what are you really hoping to see come out of that? And just speak to why is it so important to our network?
Wow. Well, it's critically important. Somebody's long ago decided that they would match up the American farmers, growers, and producers with people experiencing hunger, that they would ensure that their interests were aligned so that when one made progress, the other could too. I do want to pause just for a second just to tell you, or at least a minute, to say that I've been all across the country, and I've been around when little kids get access to produce they've never seen in their lives. And I'm proud of the fact that American farmers grew that produce, or they get protein and they get dairy. And I know American farmers, growers, and producers are the reason that they're there. So I think they've come up with something special and awesome in the Farm Bill, because not only does it include the food through the supplemental, Emergency Food Assistance Program, otherwise known as TFAP, where there's a subsidy that's provided to American farmers, growers, and producers through the USDA. And as a result of that subsidy, they have an opportunity to provide nutritious food to people experiencing hunger. So you've got the TFAP side of that. And then on the other hand, inside of that same Farm Bill, you've got SNAP. Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, formerly known as food stamps. And I have people they engage in some pretty ridiculous arguments, as if I'm thinking, are you just trying to argue? Because when you think about TFAP, there are people who say, oh, you shouldn't care about TFAP because that's just good for the farmers. I'm like, oh, no, it's not just good for farmers. I've actually been on the ground. It's good for tens of millions of people in this country. Or, oh, no, you shouldn't care about TFAP. One more round on TFAP. Shouldn't care about TFAP because that perpetuates the current state. And you ought to be about addressing systems. And I'm like, that person who's hungry right now today needs food right now, today. And we can be a yes and culture. We can be a yes and country. And the Farm Bureau gives us a chance to be yes and. So now let's talk about SNAP and some of the things I hear about SNAP. So I hear people say, oh, SNAP. Well, that system is just filled with so much fraud. I go, based on what? What are you saying that based on? It's not filled with so much fraud. And then someone else says, oh, it has no fraud. I'm like, wait, does it have people? Because if it's got people, it's probably got some fraud. But it is actually one of the best run, best administered programs that we have in the country. So it is remarkably without fraud as humans go. Let me put it that way.
Yeah.
But here's the other thing about SNAP. SNAP helps people experiencing hunger to have the dignity of going into a grocery store on their own and making choices for their families. During the pandemic, another myth, during the pandemic, people got access to more SNAP benefits, pandemic era SNAP benefits. And you know what they did? They made healthier choices. Mm-hmm. We didn't put restrictions on them. We didn't say you're going to have to go buy more lettuce. We gave them more resources with which to buy lettuce. And they decided that they wanted to buy lettuce because they've already told me and they've told us so many times in the work that we do to engage with neighbors. They told us, I know the difference between lettuce and a Snicker bar. Yep. So there's that aspect of it, right? You get more nutritionally dense food. And what SNAP is, another powerful thing about SNAP, I don't know of any other thing, honestly. Maybe there are other things that do it too. But SNAP helps large retailers, mid-sized retailers, and wait for it, and small retailers.
Right.
Because the resources get put back into the community. You can't save the SNAP in the bank, right?
Right.
You get the SNAP because you need the food. So you use the SNAP to go get food, right? Exactly. And then it stimulates the economy. So what I get excited about, Mike, would be coalitions like the ones that we have, Farmers Feed America, where people like Zippy Duval sit on a stage and say, this bill is important, both for TFAP and SNAP, right? And when you have FMI, a trade association with Leslie as the CEO, sit on that stage and she says, retailers and manufacturers are aligned in our understanding, our belief, our knowledge that the Farm Bill is important both for TFAP and SNAP. And I think Feeding America was on that stage too, and I had the privilege to represent us on that stage. I think Feeding America and I and the national office have a unique opportunity to bring together these coalitions that defy all of the stereotypes, right? That model what it means to be a yes and. And I believe that we're going to be productive with this Farm Bill. Truth is, I prefer a late great one than a bad fast one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I'm hoping that with the additional time that we get, that the fever breaks and that we get to help people to realize the unique opportunities we have to come together here. And we've done it before, and I have to be optimistic that we'll find a way to do it again.
Thank you for your thoughts and the life. And again, your leadership example, you really emboldened us. And I'll just add one more thing. I wanted to echo what you said about 200 different ways to do this. Not once has Feeding America ever told me how to serve the people in our community. All you've said is, how can we help you do it better? And we're here. And giving us that flexibility to create and see what works and what doesn't work. The best lessons I've learned are when I've had the biggest failures in my life. So thank you for giving us that space. And I hope you have a blessed Thanksgiving and rest of your holiday season.
There's no doubt. I am blessed. And it will be a blessing.
Thank you both.
So the real question is going to be, do you have any good ideas about how to take off about 10, 15 pounds?
I do not.
Oh, no.
That'll be our next podcast. How's that?
Thank you both.
Thank you, Claire.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.